With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK Real Estate 101. I'm Mary Gill, and I think we fixed it. Joining us is Tamara Wilson. She is a licensed attorney here in Georgia who specializes in taxes, estate planning, probate, guardianship, conservatorship. And she's worked at a number of places that are actually pretty notable, I've noticed. She's a wealth counselor. So let me see if we can get her. You bringing her in?
Hi, Mary.
How are you? Thank you. How are you doing, Tamara Wilson?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having
Congratulations. When did you get married?
I got married on May 16th.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yep. Congratulations.
Yeah, actually, our wedding plans were canceled, and we just decided to have a backyard wedding in light of everything going on. So.
Well, that's beautiful. Hey, that was the goal, right?
Yes.
Get married. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us today. So I was initially talking to the listening audience about how, you know, from my perspective, the best way I've tried to initiate change in our community is by means of educating people on how to buy well, how to fix their credit, how to put themselves on a level playing field. And as an attorney, you're really in a position to help educate us because you specialize in taxes, which is we really need help with today, and also estate planning and powers of attorney and healthcare directives and things like that. So
right.
Here's the thing. I could talk to you about any of those things. Like for each one of those things could be a show.
Exactly.
What I would like to do is I want to follow your lead and tell me what you really would like to talk about with the listening audience and think and convey to them today what you feel is the most important information that they need to know.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
So my partner, Althea DeBar Johnson, recently was on the show, and I know she spent a good amount of time sharing information with you all about wills and advanced healthcare directives and the importance of power of attorney. So I'm not going to focus too much on that, even though I just want to highlight that those things are extremely important. And you want to make sure, especially during this time, that you have someone that's able to make a decision for you if something were to happen, okay, to you. And then you also want to make sure that you have a will or some sort of testamentary document that says what you want to happen if you were no longer with us. But today, because the July 15th deadline is coming up for taxes, I do want to spend some time talking about taxes and some of the implications and changes that's happened thus far.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah, so the first thing, the extension, there's been an extension, and most people have heard, and I'm not sure, but July 15th has now become the deadline. That's for individual taxes as well as business taxes, and so this is a great benefit. But my suggestion is that doesn't mean you have to wait. Especially if you are going to receive a refund, you need to go ahead and try to file as soon as possible because the IRS, lots of the different departments have been closed for some time, and so processing is going to be delayed. So in order to get your money, I would say go ahead and file as soon as possible.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So a couple of questions I have.
Yes.
Now, since the deadline was extended, does that mean people who normally file you know, for a further extension into October, are they still eligible to do that?
They are still eligible to do that. And what the IRS is saying is if you did not file an extension, you still can file an extension for October. So okay. Go ahead and file those extensions. But if you're in a position to get your individual taxes done, go ahead and do that as well.
All right. So I'm going to go down a road with everybody. We all have questions about this, Tamara.
Yes. Okay.
How is it, because this is all in the news, how yes. is it corporations like Amazon, I can't remember the other one that was notable in the news, but also now Kanye and, you know, mm-hmm. the President of the United States, how is it, how are these people set up, how are these companies set up, or maybe even individuals set up, mm-hmm. so that they can just avoid taxes altogether?
Avoid taxes altogether. Okay, well, what I will say is that you're not avoiding taxes altogether, okay? I think that's a misnomer. Some people feel that that's happening, but that's really not happening. A lot of times what people are doing is they're taking advantage of the business tax deductions or the different changes in the law that occurred in 2018. And they're making sure that their businesses are set up properly to be able to take advantage of that. I think what we don't do very well as a community is that we have these great ideas and we have these great business concepts, but we're not record keeping. We're not setting up our entities in accordance with whatever state we live in. And I live here in Georgia, so we would have to set it up here with the Secretary of State and make sure that if you're an LLC, you're an LLC. If you're an S corporation, you set it up properly, you follow the proper documents. So I think what's happening is we're dropping the ball on that, and we're not able to take advantage of all those deductions that would offset our income to allow us to receive different and various benefits depending on the type of business that you're in.
Okay.
So I think that's one area. And then the thing is how do you better capture what your situation looks like? The IRS receives a copy of any income that you receive. If you receive a 1099, they get a copy of that 1099. If you receive a W-2, they get a copy of that W-2. 1098, if you have a home and you're writing off, you know, home interest, mortgage interest, they get a copy of that. But that's all that they see. They don't know how many miles you drove to go meet with clients. They don't know how many business meetings that you had. They don't know that you purchased a new office or lease, are now leasing an office. They don't have that information. So it's up to us to provide that information so that we can offset our income and potentially not pay as much taxes or little to no taxes.
Okay. Now, to go back a little bit to what you said previously.
Okay.
Now, there's different tax implications with reference to different entities. Like there's a different tax implications with the LLC versus an S corp.
Yep.
And can you, if you don't mind, what I would really love to do, as time permits, is to ask you to enlighten us about the tax ramifications of an LLC versus an S corp.
I absolutely will. And that's a great question, Mary, because I think a lot of us don't know, and we hear these terms thrown around loosely, and we're like, I want an S corp. But that may not necessarily be the best.
No, right. That's what we do. I'm just discussing that. My neighbor said I need an S corp. My neighbor said
right.
I need an LLC. My neighbor told me to do this quitclaim deed.
I'm like, please. Yes, I get this all the time. I get the same thing with a trust. I want a trust. I'm like, you might not need one. So with the different entities, an LLC is a entity that. Okay, so. First, in every state, the rule of what an LLC is differentiates. So the first thing is to understand in your state, what does that mean and what do you need to do in order to accomplish setting up an LLC properly, okay? And if you're in business for yourself, it's a flow-through entity, meaning it flows through to the individual. So everything you do in your LLC, it directly is going to go onto your 1040, your individual tax return on something called a Schedule C. Okay? So
okay.
That means that the business itself, right, even though it's accumulating income and expenses, it's going to still flow through to you as the person that owns the business. Okay.
All right, hold on. I'm sorry. I have to interject right here. So every time we come up to the 45 or 15 minute spot, we got to take a break. So I'm sorry, I got to go to a break, and then when we come back, we'll finish the LLC. Okay?
Okay.
Everybody, okay. Tamara Wilson, an attorney who specializes in estate planning and corporations and taxes, is with us today. So please, if you have any questions, call her, because this is a rare opportunity and we really appreciate it. 404-892-2703 is Real Estate 101. Back after the break. We're back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK Real Estate 101. I'm Mary Gill, and joining us today, we have newlywed Tamara Wilson, attorney licensed in Georgia. She has her own practice, and she specializes in taxes and guardianship, conservatorship, probate, estate planning, and the like, which is really needed in our community. So thank you, Mrs. Wilson, Mrs. Attorney Wilson, for being with us. All right.
Yes.
So LLC. Now, let's talk about why someone would need an LLC, and then go back into, I really want people to understand how this works with reference to taxes.
Yes. Okay. So an LLC, I think we talked a little bit about how you set it up. So in every state, you have to set it up with your Secretary of State, or however it's set up in that state. And it protects you for it protects you from liability. So if someone sues you, you have that protection, that business overlayer, okay? But it actually flows to you as the individual. So what happens is, when you're making money through your LLC and then the expenses, it offsets that, and then it offsets your total income for the year. And it goes on a Schedule C on your tax return, your 1040 tax return, okay? So that's why they call it a flow-through entity. And then the way that works for taxes is that you pay self-employment taxes, which can be very high, okay? So that would be the disadvantage. But the advantage is, it's very easy to maintain. It's typically very easy to set up, especially if you're a new business and you're not sure how you're going to, you know, who your investors are going to be or who your partners are going to be. That may be an easy way to get started. But at some point, you might want to reconsider, depending on the type of business that you're in. An S corporation, on the other hand, is just what it is. It's a corporation, but it's also a flow-through corporation, meaning that all of the stakeholders or shareholders in the LLC, your members, but in the S corporation, you're a shareholder. Each person then receives whatever their income is, right? They'll get something called a K-1, and it'll flow to them. Or they can get something, they can be an employee of their own corporation, and they can get a W-2. And then this is how payroll taxes and everything can be taken out, and you can go ahead and track it that way. The nice thing about the S corporation is that the monies that are earned by the corporation that are not used can still stay in the corporation, and you're not taxed for it individually. You're only taxed for what you receive as income.
Okay, so that's not the case with the LLC. If money, okay, so I want to differentiate a couple of things with reference to both of those. So a person who would utilize an LLC would be a self-employed person.
Yeah.
Or a holding company for investments or something like that.
Yep, investments. I think if you focus on more so where you are in the business life cycle, you know, if it's just you, if you're just setting up, if it's earlier on, I think the LLC is a good route. If you don't have employees necessarily, and you're going to be benefiting from all your income, or you don't really know what your income is going to look like, I think that's where you really want to focus on that LLC. A holding company is a good example. Rental income, you know, if you have rental properties and you put that in LLC, I think that's a great avenue to use. But when you start talking about hiring employees and paying them payroll and having benefits for those employees, and shareholders that all are investing or supporting the business, and that's when you probably want to consider something like an S corporation.
So when it comes to writing off your expenses, is it better to be an LLC or is it better to be an S corp?
I know everyone hates my answer, but it always depends. Okay, it always depends on the situation. For certain practices, like if you're a realtor, you can probably benefit from a lot of things that are incorporated in LLC, such as mileage, right? You're constantly meeting with clients, you're constantly driving, you're constantly expensing marketing dollars. You can basically expense all of those things that are reasonable for your business. And the threshold is very flexible, right? With S Corporation, you can expense a lot of those things, but you have to focus on the business being able to expense it. So can the business expense mileage? No, right? So if I'm driving a lot, it might not make sense for me to do that. But if I have maybe a small doctor's office and I have employees and administrative staff, it might make sense to be able to do that, so that way I'm not taxed for the $500,000 that I made that year because I had 7 employees that I paid, and I can go ahead and issue them their payments, and they're only taxed on what they received, and I'm only taxed on what I actually, what my income was, not the entire revenue.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. Let me ask you this question, because this is what I'm going to get when I hang up the, when we're done. This is what I'm going to get, just so you know. I'm telling you, I've done this a long time. My phone is going to ring. So can we come to you and say, hey, Attorney Wilson, this is it. This is what I've got, and I'm just starting out, or I've been doing it for a while, maybe not doing it properly. Can you tell me what I need and which is the best tool or vehicle for me and what I'm trying to do?
Okay. Yes, I can do that. And so what I like to do is sit down and understand what your goals are, what your business idea is, and what it looks like on a day-to-day basis. And that will help me analyze and make a recommendation to you as to what the best entity formation is for you.
Okay.
The other thing about the S Corporation is a lot of administrative work that goes there. So if you're a sole proprietor, meaning you're in business just by yourself, you may not be able to have the ability to manage all of the things that it requires to have an S corporation, and it may not make sense for you at that time. But yes, that is something that we do. We advise small businesses and individuals on how to set up their businesses, and we also make a recommendation to the right formation for their business.
All right. All right. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so I want to shift gears a little bit, but before I do, I want to know, and you all listening audience, you're welcome to call in at any time and ask questions to Attorney Wilson in reference to anything we've talked about, just because I may ask her a different question about a different topic. But is there anything you, Attorney Wilson, would like to tell us as a group, as a whole, mistakes you see us making all the time that you just wish we wouldn't make, or it's such an easy, quick fix, we should have done it differently? What is that?
Yes. One thing that has been huge right now is just not taking care of your tax matters, whether that's not filing, whether that's not properly reporting, or whether you know you owe the IRS, but you're ignoring them, hoping they'll disappear. The IRS will never disappear. So I just encourage you to either get someone that specializes that can give you information on how to resolve matters with the IRS. It does not necessarily mean that you'll have to come up with a lump sum. There's so many different options right now, particularly because of everything that's happening. You have something called the offering compromise, where if you're unable to pay the tax, you can probably settle for a lesser amount with the IRS. They have something called non-collectible status, where maybe right now you're going through a hardship like COVID-19. You're not seeing the income that you had prior to this issue, and maybe you're not in a position to pay the IRS, and you can go into non-collectible status to to relieve the stress, to stop the correspondence from coming in. Maybe you've gone through a divorce and you had no idea that your ex-spouse was filing returns and reporting certain income, and you're now stuck with this huge tax debt. You can also find relief through something called an innocent spouse relief.
That's interesting. Yeah, so
there's so many different outlets, and I just say that to say, talk to someone about it and address it, because what you don't want to happen is a lien or a garnishment to happen, and then you're unprepared for it.
Okay. We're going to go to a break, everyone. You've gotten a lot of information, so if you have any questions, 404-892-2703. When we come back, Ms. Wilson, Attorney Wilson, we have what's called the Deal of the Decade. I'm going to do that, and then we're going to get back with you, if that's okay.
That's okay.
All right, 404-892-2703, News and Talk 1380. Okay, Real Estate 101, I'm back in a minute. Okay, so joining us today, we have Attorney Wilson. She has her own practice. She's licensed in Georgia, and she specializes in taxes, which is fantastic. We certainly need that help. And guardianship, power of attorneys, health care directives, and the like. She specializes in all of those things. Okay. Are you there?
I'm here, Mary.
Oh,
sorry.
Cool. You know what? I'm going to tell you something, Ms. Wilson. This is true, is that I'm at my table, and Jamin is in the studio, and we're on, if you could just see this, he's on my iPad, and we can see each other. I'm hooked into the phone lines on my cell phone, and I have my laptop in front of me. It's almost comedic. It's really funny. And then he's looking like a little octopus in the studio. I laugh every time because he's going 50 million direct, trying to get it straight. He's doing a good job. Anyway. Okay. So here's the thing. Now you tell me something, because I'm just going to speak real to you. I have a little bit of a problem with the fact that when I listen to our radio stations, demographically speaking, there's all the tax commercials. And yet when you listen to other radio stations, they're not talking to them about the tax commercials. There's no tax commercials.
I know. We're not doing what we're supposed to do.
But everybody else is?
No, I don't think that they... I think that we think about our ideas first, and we get so excited, and someone says, hey, you can just set up an LLC and get into business, and that's all you have to do. I don't think we do the business planning before going into business. It's not that we don't have amazing ideas, and it's not that we don't have amazing people that we're working with, but we really need to do better with the administrative side of things, and I think that's the difference. We get into tax trouble because we just don't set it up properly, and we don't make sure we have the mechanisms in place to manage our taxes. And so we end up getting in a lot of tax trouble, whereas a lot of others, they have an accountant in place, they have a tax advisor in place, and they don't have the issues, or they don't have to worry about the issues that we tend to deal with.
So here's my question for you, because this is one that's always on my mind, especially during today's climate, and then with reference to our topic today, taxes and business and things like this. I've almost come to the conclusion, because I kind of believe, I know this is reaching a little bit, so try to stay with me, but I kind of believe in cell memory. Cell memory is information that is intrinsic to our very being. It's written in ourselves. It comes from ancestors. It comes from our parents.
That's
It's who we are because it's passed down in our DNA. Okay?
That's right.
Okay. All right. Good. We're there. So here's what I'm thinking. So especially with today's climate, you see all of this, you know, divisiveness, and then you see people who just, you look at them and you're like, where do you reconcile yourself with that's okay? But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about us.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't come from this, Attorney Wilson. This is not us. Wasn't set up by us. That's not how we used to do business. We have been and are used to primarily kind of maybe a barter system or systems from our ancestors whereby everybody was taken care of. You see what I'm saying?
That's
so
right.
I guess my question is, realistically, do you really feel like, I mean, I really feel like almost that it's a challenge for us to be involved in this system, considering it's not, to sound corny, for us or by us, you know? It's
right.
not for us, and it's not by us. So what we're trying to do is pound a square peg into a round hole, and we keep trying to think that we can do it and do it successfully, and we're trying, but it's just really not who we are, where we come from.
Well, you know, Mary, I agree with that. I do think it has a lot to do with our history and a lot to do with accessibility. I think a lot of times these conversations are had at the dinner table, right? I know when I went to law school, a lot of the kids came in and they knew all these terms. And I'm like, well, how did you hear about that? Where did you learn that at? They're like, well, we talked about this with our parents. These are conversations we had every day. So when I'm setting up a business, they already said, have your accountant in place, have your tax person in place, whereas we are not given that same blueprint. And I think part of it is a mindset change, you know, to ensure that we have that information and we're willing to use the information, okay? Because sometimes we are given the right information and we still don't do the right thing because we feel like, well, I don't want to have to pay these taxes. I'm not making enough. I really feel like I'm being taken advantage of, or I'm not benefiting from all the advantages as is. So I think it's a mindset change to understand if you do it the right way and you're taking advantage of all the benefits, you can still win, you know?
Okay.
And so it's a little bit of both, Mary. I agree with you, but at some point we have to change our mindset to do it better.
Yeah. All right. 404-892-2703. This is a hot topic, guys. Any questions, please get them in. Real Estate 101 with Attorney Wilson. We are back after the break. We're back, everyone. News Talk 1380 WAOK Real Estate 101. I'm Mary Gill. Joining us today is Attorney Tamara Wilson, Georgia licensed attorney with her own law practice specializing in taxes and trust, powers of attorneys, and guardianship, which I kind of want to talk about that. So I want to talk, but we have a caller holding, Attorney Wilson, so we're going to get to the caller. Todd's holding. Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Mary.
Hey.
Tamara Wilson.
Hi, Todd.
Tamara Wilson, you hear me okay?
I hear you, Todd.
Okay. I am not an attorney, nor do I have ambitions to be one, nor do I have any master's degree in taxation. I'm saying that for this reason, okay? Although these things are true, there are two phrases that have been in my head since I was a teenager when I started making money that still carry with me. By the way, I hope we have a tax attorney as a vice president pretty soon. All right, number one, 1819, the power to tax involves the power to destroy. Marshall McCulloch versus Maryland. Okay, you familiar with that one, aren't you, Tamara?
I'm very familiar.
I would add into that the power to tax equally, even though that's not part of it, equally involves the power to destroy. And then the building that I used to have to walk past twice a week for five straight years in Washington, D.C., the IRS building, I said walk past. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to go in there. Taxes are what we pay for a civilized society. I do believe that. I do believe that. Do you believe that?
Right.
Well, if you
don't believe
it, I believe it, okay? Taxes are what we pay for a civilized society.
I do believe that when everybody does their part, everybody absolutely benefits from it. I do believe that there's also disparities, again, in the information that different segments of people are provided with, and that, unfortunately, doesn't allow everyone to equally benefit from the tax system. So, yes, I do think that taxes are necessary, but I think that there's a lot of change that can happen in the tax system, to make it a little bit more equitable. But we can spend all day talking about that.
Right, and we won't. But I just wanted to give you some insight on where I was coming from so I could get to my question, okay?
Okay.
I like smooth transitions of funds and property, and yeah. I am reestablishing myself in Georgia, and I want my home to be in a trust. I want that. It's not something that I'm going to come in negotiating with anybody about the various options that I could use in place of a trust. I want the home to be in a trust, okay? And I want any assets that come with the home to be in a trust. And I want it to be set up in such a way that if there's a smooth transition in the event that something happens to me to whichever one of my five I pick to have possession of it, okay?
Yeah.
I don't anticipate anything that's going to happen to me. I imagine I'm going to do like a lot of my other relatives. I'm going to live into an ancient person, but in the event that I do not, can you talk specifically to the benefits of purchasing a home in the name of a trust as opposed to purchasing a home in the name of yourself as an individual in the state of Georgia? Because there's different benefits from different states, but I'm only referencing Georgia.
Yes. I'm sorry I didn't spend more time talking about trust today, and I should always do that, but that in itself is a long topic. But what I will say is, first I'm going to make just a correlation between a will and a trust, okay? When you have a will, you're just making a testamentary gift, okay? So immediately when you pass away, that gift becomes a completed gift, right? So let's say you leave a house, or in your will, you say, I want to leave it to my child. That transfer happens and it's done, okay? The difference when you have a trust is that, for one, the trust becomes non-probate property. What does that mean? That means you don't have to go through the probate process in order to transfer that property to the beneficiary who's going to be receiving that property, okay? Secondly, right, like you said, what are the protections that you have? You have the protection of whatever is in that trust provision. So there's a million different types of trusts, but one in particular, you can just say an irrevocable property trust, for example. Now the trust owns that property. It's no longer in your estate. You've already made the transfer during life into the trust, okay? That means that now you don't have to worry about the tax implications personally. The trust is responsible for it, okay? In addition, in that, you can put legacy provisions, and this is how you see properties and lands and buildings that stay in families forever, right? You can say, you know what? I want this property to go to my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-great-great-grandchildren, and it never leaves that family, okay? So you can be as flexible as you want to be when it comes to your trust and make it something that's a legacy. So when you say what's the biggest benefit, I would say it can become legacy property easier. You've already done some of the estate planning to ensure that your family are the beneficiaries of that trust. And there can be tax savings as well, depending on your estate versus what's actually in the trust. There are some administrative disadvantages where you have to manage it. You have to make sure you go to a tax preparer that can prepare the taxes for that trust and et cetera. But there's, I would say, more benefits than not when you're trying to think about your legacy and long-term when you're no longer here with us.
Okay. And then now I have a question specifically related to a tax, okay?
Okay.
Because one of my kids is listening right now. And they don't hear it from dad, but they'll listen to it from a tax attorney. What is the death tax?
What is the death tax?
Mm-hmm. And give its real name, because they don't call it the death tax.
Well, there's several taxes, okay? So you have the estate tax, okay? And you have to meet a certain threshold to even qualify for that. And that's upwards of $2 million, okay? There's the gift tax. And the reason I say both of those are involved, because when you're giving something, even if it's because it's you're passed away or whatever, that's still a gift. You're gifting it to that person. So because it's a gift, it can alter what the taxes are for that particular individual. A lot of times when you inherit property as a beneficiary, you don't incur the tax unless it's way over, or unless you're talking about generation skipping taxes where you're giving it to grandchildren and things like that, okay? So the death tax is the estate tax, and if your estate has a certain amount of assets in it, you can be subject to that tax. But the goal is to utilize trust planning and sophisticated estate planning to offset that tax and to ensure that you keep as much of the asset in your estate for your beneficiaries as possible.
All right, thanks, Tamara. In exit, I'd like you to make the case for why black people who can prove that their descendants of slaves should not have to pay taxes in the United States. No, I'm just joking.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm just joking. All right.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you, Todd. All right. Okay, everyone. Okay, Attorney Wilson, we've got to go to a break. And if you don't mind, if you could just stick with us through the next segment, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to call you and ask their questions. One more time, okay. 404-892-2703. We are with Attorney Wilson. She practices law here in Georgia with references to taxes, to powers of attorneys, health care directives, wills and trusts. And we're going to get all of her contact information because we really need this information desperately. Real Estate 101, I'm Mary Gill. We're back. We're back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Real Estate 101, I'm Mary Gill, and we have been honored to have with us today Tamara Wilson. She's an attorney with her own law office here in the Metro Atlanta area, and she provides services in reference to a number of things that we certainly need. That is taxes, tax resolution, guardian ad litem, trusts, health care directives, and all of those. And we appreciate you being with us today, Attorney Wilson.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so if you don't mind, I want to switch gears for a minute because our children, unfortunately, are sometimes subject to adults who don't know what they're doing. A lot of times they think they know what they're doing, and they don't, because, again, we go back all the way to the beginning where my neighbor told me to do X, Y, Z or whatever, and that was wrong.
Yep.
Didn't get any real information.
We
so
call that the street committee.
What do you?
we call it the street committee. That's what attorney Althea Bar Johnson coined it as.
Yeah, I think she said that. That is hysterical. That is so true. And I always have to re-educate people after someone's neighbor told them to do something. Anyway, so I recently had to tell somebody that they couldn't convey property to their minor child or their minor grandchild, or that it wasn't a good idea. You know what? I know why. And that's why I never did it with my children. But if you wouldn't mind explaining that to the listening audience on why you don't convey real property to a minor child and what could potentially happen if, in fact, that property ever needs to be sold.
Okay. Well, a minor child cannot pay bills. A minor child cannot go to work and make sure that the insurance is kept up and the mortgage is kept up, right? So typically what happens, you give it to a minor child, and of course their guardian is the person that's going to end up having to maintain that property, okay? And let's say that this is a divorced family, and the guardian is now dad, who we were trying to keep the property away from in the first place. He ends up being the overseer of this particular property, okay? And so that's why you really don't want to transfer property to a minor child. In the state of Georgia, until you're 18 years old, you're not able to manage your own assets as a minor. Therefore, you would have to now go through the probate process of appointing a conservator who would manage the assets for the child, and that conservator would need to be bonded. And so now you're creating all of these other elements versus setting up the proper vehicle to make sure that your child would eventually benefit from that property. My suggestion or recommendation would be to either get a trust, right, where your child can still be the beneficiary. You have a trustee, someone who's managing the property, right, and responsible for the property, who's also an adult and a fiduciary. And then when they become of age, they can benefit from the property. Or even during, while they're minors, they can benefit from the property. Let's say this same property is generating income, rental income. That child is still able to benefit, but at least you know that that property is still being managed during life or while they're a minor child.
And there's a number of ways that people can take title. Well, they can convey title. They can convey title to an individual for the benefit of a minor child. A number of different ways that they could do it, that do it the proper way, and then avoid an individual who has to come in like a guardian ad litem and then represent the interests of the child, someone who's impartial.
Absolutely, yes. You can appoint a power of attorney for a minor child. You can convey at a later. You can have a time frame as to when you convey. You know, so you can have something dated at a particular time. Especially if it's in your will, you can give them a life estate in the property where they can benefit from it. Meaning they can still live there with their guardian and enjoy the property, and then when they become of age, maybe at that time, title is transferred into their name.
Then there's also for the life of another. You could take title, Port Autrevia, it's called, for the life of another. So say like you're taking care of a child and they've got a lot of problems, they're incapacitated or they're sick or whatever, then you could convey property to somebody else for the life of that child, and then determine what happens after that person is no longer with us or whatever. So there's a number of ways that we can do it. We just don't know these things, so that's why you need to always seek out and talk to an attorney. I just want you to know attorney wasn't what I try to do, because I always put when they need it, I'm like, you need an attorney. But I always tell them to prepare yourself before you go to an attorney, because it will save that you so much time and them so much money for you to have to try to do all of the background and tell them, get all the paperwork that they should already have access to, you know, get it all together and then bring it to them, and you then present the case, and you've done half of the work that the attorney needed to do anyway.
Exactly. And honestly, we're very honest with our clients. We tell them that up front. We can save you money. We can save you time if you can do X. And if you want us to do it, that's fine. We'll do the work, but it's going to cost you a little bit more.
Okay. So let's, you specialize, let's see, hold on. You currently serve as a court-appointed attorney and guardian ad litem for Fulton and DeKalb?
Yeah, currently.
Oh, wow. That's really great. So now this is a question I have, and I've always had this, because I did work in Cobb as a CASA.
Okay.
But can you tell everybody the differences, and tell me, of the Fulton County DeKalb Guardian Ad Litem versus like maybe the Cobb CASA?
The Cobb CASA?
CASA, not so familiar. Court-appointed special advocate. So what happens is DFACS would assign me a case, which they did, and you gather all the information about the child, and you talk to everybody who influences their life, and then you make recommendations to the court. But I don't really feel like that's an actual court-appointed guardian ad litem, considering I can't represent the interests of the child. I just make recommendations in the interests of the child.
Yeah, so typically the CASA serves mostly like in family and juvenile court proceedings where there might be some abuse going on, or there might be a report. And like you said, you're working closely with DFACS possibly. But with the guardian and conservatorship resides in the probate court on this end. And this is typically minors that where there's maybe been a deceased parent, or maybe there's been a mental illness, or, delayed disability or something like that, where now the parent needs to either advocate for the child that will become an adult, or there's minor children and their parents have passed away, and now they need someone to represent their interests. So they'll have a guardian ad litem come in and say, okay, this is what needs to happen, or just serving their best interest to make sure that they get what they're entitled to.
Okay. All right, beautiful. So I've got to go to one more break, and I'd like to keep you for one more segment. I have one more question I think the listening audience would like to know. I know I do. And then after that, we'll let you go. But I'm going to ask you before I go, and so you could think about it during the break, and that is, at what point and what processes does a person have to go through to establish that an individual, like a parent or grandparent, is incapable of making decisions on behalf of themselves? And then do they become a guardian, or is a conservatorship set up? And then what happens with reference to that? So that's what we're going to talk about. That's okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Wilson. We really appreciate it. All right. 404-892-2703, Real Estate 101, back after the break. We're back, everyone. News and Talk 1380 WAOK, Real Estate 101. I'm Mary Gill, and joining us today is Attorney Wilson. She's been hugely informative in reference to taxes, LLCs, S-Corps. If you missed any of the show, you can certainly rewind it for up to 24 hours on the radio.com app, so I encourage you to do that. But also, we will post segments of this show on the WAOK Facebook page and Real Estate 101 featuring Mary Gill Facebook page. Also how to contact Attorney Tamara Wilson, Tamara Wilson, so that you can access her phenomenal wealth and her services. So, all right, Attorney Wilson, can you hear me? Is she there? I don't hear her. Yeah, all right, I think I have
her. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can now. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So I know that was a lot, but I have truly, this is true, had people come to me and say, well, you know, my grandma, she has dementia, but she signed a quitclaim deed over to me for the property. And I'm thinking, okay, oh, you just told me a mouthful right there.
Right.
please, I'm begging you to address this.
Yes. So you do have to have the mindset or the capacity to transfer property, okay? That's one of the requirements. If you want to have a will, if you want to transfer property or set up power of attorney, you do have to have testamentary capacity and ability to do so. So you ask the question, what are some of the things that you want to consider when thinking about, does my grandmother or my elderly family member need some type of document, or do I need some type of authority in order to make decisions on their behalf? If they're diagnosed with dementia, if they're diagnosed with Alzheimer's, memory type issues, then you definitely want to speak to a physician and ask them if they feel like they have capacity. There are tests that can be done to see what their wherewithal is, okay? And so that is something that you would want to do. Just because you've been diagnosed with that does not necessarily mean you don't have the ability to do it. You can have something called a lucid moment, a moment of clarity. So a lot of people that have these type of illnesses, they can be very sharp one minute, and then they might have a bad day and they just don't remember anything. So if it's at that moment where you catch them and they have a moment of clarity, they still can make some decisions, okay? But I would just say look and in particular, pay attention to their changes in behavior. Do they become more secretive? Do they become more paranoid about their money? Are they hiding things? Are they just doing unusual things like wearing hot clothing in the middle of summer? Are they not answering the phone anymore? You know, are they getting very angry and agitated? Those are some of the symptoms that you can kind of pay attention to see if there's something might be wrong. But my recommendation is to always take them to a doctor and have them be evaluated to make sure that they have the mental capacity to make decisions on their own.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. We appreciate that.
The other thing, Mary, is if you know that your elder loved one is getting older, go ahead and have them do their documents now. have them do their estate planning, their will, their power of attorney now, so that when they are incapacitated, you already have the documentation in place and you can avoid having to go through the guardianship and conservatorship process.
I think we think as a community that that's something you don't want to talk about. Oh, you're going to be all right. Oh, we don't want to talk about that now. Oh, you're going to be here. And then next thing you know, they're not here. I'm guilty of it. My dad wanted to talk about it. I didn't want to talk about it with him.
It's
and
hard.
After the fact, when now we're confronted with a mess after he passed away, that is a tough lesson I learned now to be prepared. Do it in advance because none of us are going to live forever. So we're going to be with that eventually at one time anyway.
That's right, Mary. And it's a tough conversation to have. And it's also very tough for the elder person. You know, we recently experienced something similar with my own mother. You know, it's not easy, but I think it's necessary. And when you can show them that it's out of concern and desire to help them, most of the time they're willing to work with you.
All right. So you have three girls?
I have two girls and a boy.
And a boy. Okay.
Yep. And then I have a bonus baby. She's a little girl, and three bonus sons.
Wow, that's beautiful. So I have a bonus grandchild too, a 6-year-old little boy named Thomas. I know, right? I just love it. Anyway, congratulations. We're happy for you.
Thank you.
All right, please give everybody your contact information. And I also, everybody will post this to Real Estate 101 featuring Mary Gill and to the WAOK Facebook page so they can contact you, Attorney Wilson.
Okay. So my information is we're with the Althea DeBar Johnson PC firm, Tamara Wood Esquire, and we're joining and will soon be the Atlanta Estate Attorney. We can be reached at 404-584-5555. My email address is twood@abjpclaw.com. Again, that's 404-584-5555.
Okay, great. I don't know if I have your cell phone number, but I want to make sure before you hang up, please give it to Jamin so that I can have it, because I'm going to tell you now, there's going to be a lot of people who need your services. And I will be sending them to you, okay? And also
to
Althea DeBar Johnson.
That.
You guys have been fantastic. Yeah, we need this in our community, and I've been looking. So it's great. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Anybody have questions, please reach out to her. We need this. You need to fix all of your things up. Guys, if you have parents, let's go ahead and get those things done. And now we have this law firm at that we can access to help us do these things. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.